All right, what is up, everybody? We have 10 minutes to cover 10 elk calling tactics with the Corey Jacobson from Elk 101, several to many World Elk Calling Championship. We were talking a little bit earlier. He thinks 11. It's so many, Corey doesn't even know anymore. But Corey, welcome. Tell us a little bit about who you are so the listeners, if they don't know who you are, can get a little a brief picture into that, and then let's jump right into your elk calling tactics to help folks get a bull this fall.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. I am just a very passionate elk hunter and blessed to grow up and still live in elk country. And I've been hunting elk with a bow for probably 35 years or so now. So just love it. It's led me to the career path that I'm currently in, which is owning and operating elk101.com. And spending my energies and my passion for elk to help other elk hunters become successful or more successful.
Awesome. So you've been around the elk calling block a time or two then.
It's I can remember my first diaphragm elk call when I was about 8 years old. So that would have been 1983, 1984, somewhere in there, which is about when they first came out. So
I believe it. Well, let's jump right in. I know you've created a list here of just kind of like, you know, some surefire stuff to keep in mind and some good tips. So, take it from here, man. Let's run through it.
Yeah. So top 10 things for calling elk. I think the first thing is keep it simple. And I think a lot of times elk hunters get bogged down with complexity. And I always say complexity crushes confidence. And, you know, the harder it is, the more complex it is, the less confidence you might have. And I think a lot of elk hunters especially lack confidence in their calling, and they're afraid to use it aggressively, which I think is the fun way to do it. So complexity crushes confidence, simplicity secures success. And that's kind of when it comes to elk hunting and elk calling especially, keep it simple. And then tailing on that, the second thing is learn and practice three simple elk calls. So you don't have to know 100 different things. You don't have to know what 100 different calls mean. If you just learn how to make three simple elk calls, that's a cow call, just a regular cow mew, a location bugle, which anybody can make, and then the challenge bugle, which is the most important one for calling an elk. But keeping it simple and then learning and practicing three simple calls is key to gaining that confidence to be able to use them when you're in the field.
I think those first two tips there just took a giant weight off a lot of elk hunter shoulders, whether you're, you know, beginning or even a little bit more advanced, because that can be super intimidating. You think you have to know so many things, and there really is so much going on and to analyze in the elk woods, but to be able to kind of break it down and boil it down, and like you said, keep it simple, three basic sounds. Yeah, that's a good one.
No, and you know, just to expand on that a little bit, there's so many things going on, especially for a new elk hunter, just scouting and finding elk and the gear you need and all of the logistics that go into it. The last thing you need to do is to be insecure about your elk calling and go out there and not have the full experience that you could have had with just a little bit of more confidence. So,
all right. Yeah. Number three
is forget about elk language and use emotion in your calls. Don't worry about communicating through language, communicate through emotion. So if you're trying to get a bull to come in because he thinks you're a cow, sound like a pretty cow, sound like a hot cow. You know, put some emotion into those cow calls that gives that bull a reason to want to come in. And my favorite part is when you challenge the bull and get him to fight, you've got to say that in your bugle. You know, it's not a language that communicates it. It's not a specific cadence or anything. It's the emotion you put into it. And elk can feel that emotion. If you put anger into your bugle, the elk is going to sense that and know that you mean business.
I like it. Do you have a tip of a good way for people to listen to elk so they can kind of, you know, get an idea of like what they sound like, so when they want to add emotion they can get that picture or that sound picture?
Yeah, I mean YouTube obviously is the resource for everything, but there's tons of good elk calling sequences, you know, of actual elk doing it. I have a series on how to use diaphragm elk calls and how to bugle and cow call on YouTube on the Elk 101 YouTube channel. So any of those are good resources to help you practice and to help you kind of know what you're going for.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Number four. I think we're on number four now.
Yeah, so those were kind of the preparation. Now, as we get into the in-the-field performance stuff, the first thing you're going to do is locate an elk. And you locate them with a location bugle. It's just a simple two-note bugle, just communicating, hey, I'm an elk, I'm up here, and you're looking for a response. And at that point, I'm not interested in calling the elk in necessarily. I'm not putting any emotion into it. I'm just finding the elk. And so cover a lot of country, find an elk that bugles and responds to you, and from there, approach them quietly. Just get in as close as you can to that elk without doing any more calling. If you need to call again on the way there, that's okay. But that last final, 200, 300 yard approach, I try to do it completely quiet. So I have that element of surprise as we're moving in on the bull and get set up.
Do you try to when you get that bull to answer back, will you get on your digital mapping program and drop a pin where you think that bull is, just to kind of keep that reference as you try and get closer?
A lot of times, yeah. And a lot of times, we'll pick out just a landmark, and we don't have to be exact. I just think, okay, there's a bench up there. He's on that bench. I've got to get across this draw, get to his elevation and move in towards that bench. And then as we get close and we get into a good setup, I don't care if I'm 80 yards or if I'm 160 yards. I just want to get close and find a really good setup before I get in and bump him. We're going in quiet. So the last thing I want to do is get too close and bump him, because then he knows something's wrong.
When you're ripping that location bugle, is there a place that you generally like to be to do that? Are you trying to get up high so you're broadcasting that further out, or does it just kind of depend on where you're at?
No, I think the main platform we like to use is a ridge. Get on a ridge where we're up a little bit higher and we're broadcasting it into a big basin or down into a big drainage. And we aren't too worried about wind at this point. I mean, obviously we are, but we're bugling frequently enough that we're bugling out in front of us. And usually we get an opportunity to adjust for the wind, because we are bugling frequently enough that we hear a bull and can adjust on the fly there.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. Then what next, Corey?
Well, next, and I kind of touched on it, but get close. You want to get as close to that bull as you can, because there is a bubble. There's a personal bubble that you can invade on an elk. And if you don't invade it, that elk is a different animal than when you get inside his bubble. And, it's different for every elk. You get a herd bull late September that's got a bunch of cows. It's going to take a lot more pressure getting a lot closer to pull him away from the cows, because he's so focused on breeding. But earlier in the season, sometimes just having a bull on the same hillside, they don't tolerate that. So when I say get close, it changes based on the terrain, based on the elk, based on the season, but get as close as you can. Sometimes that's 80 yards, sometimes that's 250 yards, but push that envelope, get as close as you can. And that's really a super important factor in being able to call an elk in. If you're trying from 400 yards away and that bull just bugles and you bugle back and forth for 30 minutes, but he doesn't seem interested, well, he's not interested. You haven't given him a reason to be interested. If you want to challenge him and make him come in for a fight, you've got to get up in his face and do that.
Awesome.
So number five is get close.
Get close. All right. Number six.
Number six is probably the nemesis of elk hunters everywhere, every season, every day, it seems like, and that is the wind. You have to obey the wind. An elk will not deviate from his sense of smell. And if he smells something that smells like danger, which a human does, he's not taking a chance. And if you, from 400 yards away, aren't paying attention to the wind, the hunt's over before you even realize it. And I hear so many times, people say, well, I had this bull going and he just went quiet. Elk don't just go quiet. There's a reason. And that reason 90% of the time is he smelled you. And it doesn't take very much. Your scent fans out. All they need is a slight little change in the wind direction, and it goes to them for 5 or 6 seconds, and it's game over. So always pay attention to the wind. I carry a little puffer bottle with me, and it's in my hand continually. One of the things I found that really helps reduce their ability to smell you is get on the same level as the elk on the mountain. So thermals are typically in the mountains are going up or down. Very rarely will they go sideways. A thermal won't go sideways. A wind will go sideways. So if you have cloud cover or something, yeah, you can get a wind from the side. But when you're dealing with mountain thermals, they're moving up or down. And if you can get on the same level as the elk and move in at that level, if the wind does switch, it's going perpendicular to the line you're moving in on the elk, and the chances of him smelling you are much, much lower.
I like that. Do you find that, I mean, that's a great strategy. Do you find that being on the level of that elk also is kind of like you're where they, like, I'm picturing like a contour line, right, where they're on that certain level. Do they like to kind of work that same contour line where they want to be to you? Like, is that a good way for them to, like, likely come in versus maybe, like, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to go down there. Like, well, I'm already here and I can just go over here.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other benefit of getting on the same level is if an elk's above you, they can see down the mountain really well. And if they can hear where you're calling from and they have a good visual, they aren't coming any closer. So a lot of times they'll hang up above you and not come down. On the flip side, they a lot of times won't come up a hill to a bugle because they're coming up a steep hill into a potentially dangerous situation where there's another 800-pound elk screaming at them, fired up, mad, and physically they're at a disadvantage coming up that hill. So a lot of times they'll hang out, you know, 100 yards down below you and won't come up. So getting on the level definitely eliminates a lot of the wind concern. It eliminates their advantage of being above you, and it eliminates their disadvantage of being below you. So they're definitely more comfortable coming in on that level for sure.
Man, that is awesome. I like that one. Where are we at? Seven?
All right. Somewhere in there. So the next one is you have to choose a good setup. And that goes into being on the same level as the elk a lot of times. But an elk has to feel comfortable coming in. You know, he's not going to just come in thinking, oh, I might die today or I might not. He's coming in only because he feels like he's protected. And every once in a while, you'll get a bull that's fired up so much he's willing to drop his guard a little bit. But the more comfortable you can make him, the more secure he feels coming in, you know, where he's able to feel like he's using his sense of smell, where he's able to see and hear. If he's coming through a great big alder thicket, he can't see or hear. So he's eliminated two of his senses. If you happen to have the wind on him, he has no protection from his senses and he's probably not going to come in. So finding a good game trail where he's got visibility, where he's going to be able to come in and feel like he's protected, which puts it back on you as a shooter. You've got to find a good setup where you're also camouflaged from him. You know, you don't want to set up behind a tree or behind brush because then you don't have a shooting lane. So finding a good setup is critical. Drawing your bow at the right time is critical. Knowing when to take that shot is all part of that setup. And the setup really is that hinge point that once you get in and get close and have that bull coming, everything else falls on your setup at that point.
What about, and I think you're, you know, alluding to this, but, you know, front cover versus like back cover. So it sounds like you are generally trying to set up in front, so you do have like more of a wide open, I guess more versatile, you know, shooting lanes or shooting options.
Yeah, if you set up behind a tree, you know, you've only got one shooting lane basically on one side of that tree. If you set up behind a brush pile, you really have no shooting lane unless that bull comes all the way around, which at that point you probably can see or smell. So I like to set up in front of any obstacle and be out in that setup, not behind it. With that, you have to be careful of movement. You can't move. An elk's going to be able to pinpoint any noise, any movement if they can see. If you can see an elk's eye, he can see any movement you make. So you have to draw your bow carefully when his head goes behind a tree, when he stops and rakes a tree, things like that. But yeah, you want to be in front of obstacles to set up.
If you draw on a bull and he does, and this is in general because it probably could be any amount of time, I guess. But have you found that if a bull stops in an okay spot and you get your bow back, but you know he stopped because he saw you draw and he's looking at you, but you're at full draw, how much time do you think you have to shoot?
It really depends. But like these mountain bulls, you know, public land in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, where they have predators around them 24/7, they usually don't stand around and wait to see if there's danger. They don't take a chance. You know, you get in some of the draw units, limited hunts in Utah and Arizona and New Mexico, the elk aren't nearly as wary sometimes. And they'll come in and you can get away with a little movement. They don't see and recognize that as danger. And so they might be a little more curious or a little bit more apt to wait it out another second or two. But realistically, if you're hunting a public land bull and he sees you draw your bow and you happen to get back, you don't have time to spend a lot of time there. You got to get the pin on him and execute a good shot. And we're talking 2 to 3 seconds, probably max.
Okay. Which actually, you know, I mean, that full draw, you know, can seem like a lifetime, you know, so, very cool. So, next on the docket, we've got the setup. What now?
Yep. So number eight would be reading the bull's attitude. So when you get set up and you go to call him in, you know, keep it simple, definitely. And all we really need at this point is a cow call and a challenge bugle, but read the bull's attitude. If you give him a cow call and he screams back at that cow call, he's interested. You've got his attention with that. No need to mess it up by giving him a bugle or doing anything else. Just keep giving him the cow call. If you give him a cow call and he responds, says, yeah, I'm interested, but he responds five or six times to your cow call, but it's not moving towards you, then you've got to change your tactic a little bit and say, okay, now I've got to make him want to fight. He's not going to come to me to get a cow. I've got to make him want to fight to get this cow. Okay. So reading his attitude, and not necessarily his attitude as much as what's his response? What is he most responding to? And then give him what he wants.
Awesome. I think we got one or two more, yeah?
Two more, yeah. So the next one is, once you know what he's responding, I never bugle first. If I give him a cow call and he answers and I want to respond with a challenge bugle, I always respond to him with that other bull. So I don't want to cow call and then bugle on my own and then have him bugle, because at that point he's challenging me and saying, why don't you come up here? Let's fight over your cow. I always want to make sure that I initiate a response from him and then give him that challenge response.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes
sense. Putting the ball in his court.
Yeah.
Making him make that decision rather than him being able to say, I'm going to stand my ground and challenge you. You come up where I feel comfortable. If I can turn it on him and make him come to me, that's what we're looking for.
Perfect. Perfect. Make him do the work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. What's the last one, Corey?
Last one brings us full circle back to confidence and back to keeping it simple. And the last one is be aggressive. And when you have confidence in your calling, when you have confidence in this calling sequence, you can be aggressive. And the more aggressive you are, I think the better in this situation where you're trying to get a bull either to come to a cow call, be aggressive with the cow calls. Say, I'm lonely down here. You know, give him a reason to get excited and come in. And when you turn it on him and challenge him with a bugle, don't be timid. You know, give him everything you have. When you put that emotion into it, it's got to be, hey, I kind of want to fight. That's not going to work. It has to be, I want to fight. I want to drop gloves. I want to go right now. And you have to put that emotion into it. And don't be afraid. Get in his grill and scream at him. That's what elk do. You know, when you see two elk square off, they aren't just kind of running their mouths at each other at 300 yards. They're getting in each other's face and screaming with emotion. So do that and be persistent. Push up closer if you have to. You know, if you're set up and you just aren't able to pull him in with cow calls and bugles, push up a little closer, put pressure on him, be persistent. And I always say, as long as the bull hasn't smelled you, even if he sees movement, even if he hears a branch break, he might move off 100 or 200 yards, but he's not sensing, hey, there's immediate danger. I've got to vacate the area. So be persistent, keep on him. And as long as he hasn't smelled you, you still have a chance.
I like that. That be aggressive one is a good one. And historically, I've been more timid because, like you said, maybe a lack of confidence in my calling or really just being afraid to screw things up. But then I find, well, I just screwed things up because I was afraid to screw things up and nothing happened. So
exactly,
you know, so I think that's a really, really good one. Like, even if you screw it up, I guarantee you're going to learn something and you're probably gonna be better off for it with, you know, at least potentially getting a better opportunity or the opportunity that makes a difference. And bam, you got an elk on the ground and you're punching your tag and filling your freezer.
Absolutely. And it's all about efficiency. You know, when you get in these setups and everything's right, you don't have to have 20 opportunities to get a shot. You know, we're talking, if you have three or four opportunities, there should be an arrow flying. There should be a blood trail that you can follow, because when you set up in a good spot, when you get that bull coming in to fight, he's dropped his guard. I mean, everything that goes into getting an efficient setup and call in really comes down to you just executing a shot, drawing your bow at the right time, putting pin on there and squeezing off a shot. And it really can be that simple.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we are much closer to a 20-minute talk than a 10-minute talk, which I am notorious for. But Corey, appreciate the time. Appreciate all the great information. And good luck in the elk woods, man.
Absolutely. Likewise.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this one. Hopefully these tips help you bag a bull this fall. If you have some awesome elk calling tips, let us know below. Give us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we will catch you on the next one.